so much, my friends, for listening to this wonderful interview. I have Jo Iskar on now. I'd like to, I know she's been waiting patiently to come on. If you, Doug or Don, if you see her there, let's see if I can find her. There she is. Jo, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You've been so sweet to wait. I'm so sorry to keep you waiting. Might be able to give you some time past the top of the hour. I'll ask you about that. Are you just on audio today, or do you have video too?
No, I have video. It just seems to not be coming up.
Okay. Well, there's a little thing at the bottom there that says stop video and start video.
Yeah.
So if you click that, hopefully that'll work okay.
I'm here. It started.
Okay. Okay, great. Wonderful. Thank you so much. I love my producers at BBS. They're such good people. And
that's nice.
we can go over today. No problem. So anyway, I still don't see you though, but I guess you're there.
I can see you.
Oh, there you are. There you just appeared out of nowhere. Out of the internet. Okay. Jo, could you tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
I've sort of only come out of the closet really this year as to share, I guess, all of my experiences. I've been in corporate most of my life, and along my journey in corporate, I spent a lot of time studying healing modalities, and I'm now working as a healing, like as a therapist with my horses. I do equine therapy, sound healing, and art therapy. My background is actually graphic design. I had an NDE at 2, and I've spent my life living in multiple dimensions. From the spirit world and angelic world to the ET world, to time traveling. So I've had a very interesting life. I kept a lot of that to myself because, you know, running my own business and working in corporate, even whisper something like the sort of experiences I had, and you're looked at very strangely. So it seems like 2020 has been a great year for for me to bring down that veil. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
great.
I connected with you because I saw some of your work, and then we met up and you came on my show. So yeah, it's lovely to be here.
Well, great. I'm so glad. And the angels have provided today so that we can run past the 12. I promise I won't keep you more than 12 hours, okay? I promise.
That's okay.
or until Don or Doug or you or I fall asleep, and then we'll have to shut her off then. I wanted to mention briefly, I'm getting messages from Canada. I've got a listener base up there. Canada's a beautiful country, but there's been a lot of protests. There's a protest this afternoon in Vancouver, BC in Canada, as well as Courtney, British Columbia, every Tuesdays and Thursdays. I've heard about these protests. Of course, in our controlled media, you don't hear anything about it, but they are happening worldwide. I know I've heard from Germany, from friends in Berlin, that there's protests, weekly protests by hundreds of thousands of people throughout Germany and especially in Berlin, that the mass media never reports. But I wanted to let people know that people are standing up en masse to these lockdowns and lack of freedoms. They're beginning to see that there's no logical health reason for these shutdowns, especially when you have, like here in the United States, many big box stores, like not to single them out, but just as an example, Walmart and Home Depot and other big box stores are completely open, when maybe the little mom and pop restaurant that they've had for maybe 1,000 years that they started, their great-great-grandparents started, worked their whole lives for many generations, and now that's gone. And no matter how many bailouts you get, that's not going to bring it back. I think it's criminal what these governments are doing, and they should all be arrested and thrown in jail, in my opinion.
I agree. Yeah. And I mean, I've got a friend that lives in Europe, and she said that they've had intel that there's been a number of really big arrests by the international judges. So I'm interested to see if that's true. We all hope and pray that it is. But look, I was in stage four lockdown in Melbourne for 6 months, and that was pretty horrific. And we did have a lot of protests going on here. And see, interestingly, it wasn't all of Australia. It was really just parts of Victoria and mostly Melbourne that went into stage four lockdown. And we had a lot of police brutality in Melbourne. It was really, really horrific. And look, we don't have to wear masks outside, but people still will. Like when I go shopping at my local supermarket and shopping center, my husband and I are the only ones not wearing masks generally. And there'd be thousands of people around in the big supermarkets. We can't spot anybody else, but and we don't have to wear them, but people still are. So this is the mind control that people are under here, you know.
I just got a message from one of my listeners in Canada, and I wanted to read this to you. Thanks, Tom, for sending the message. He said, "Raising the vibrations around the world is that we are ascending to make this planet a better place." So all of us are powerful spiritual beings, and no matter what the governments do or the cabal does, we can stand up to them. And they don't. We have the numbers, they don't. We have the power, they don't. But you have to remember, you have to take it back. You can't allow them to do that. Are you able to sue the police for police brutality there in Australia? We can do it here in the States, but can you do it there?
But it's a long process, like probably it is there as well. I know that I was with my girlfriend who's from France. And she told me on Friday night that in France, you can't even film a police officer who is being brutal to someone, or you'll go straight to jail. So that's what's happening in France. But you know, that's pretty horrific. But look, one of the great things, Ted, like you've just said, we are really these sovereign beings. And all year, my guides and my galactic friends, when they've come to visit, have said to me, stay calm, stay faithful. The light has already won, and you will choose your world. And that's the message that they come in and remind me of all the time. So, you know, I think that we just need to know that it doesn't mean we just sit back and do nothing, because we all really have to stand up and claim our sovereignty. And that's the most important thing right now.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. There seems to be a separation now between the light and the dark, between the lower vibrational states and the higher vibration. But something that President Kennedy told me 2 months ago, he said, "No, leave no one behind. You know, try to take your neighbor with you." And it's difficult because a lot of people are asleep. But I think what's going to happen, this is a time of truth, and the truth about, for example, the deep underground bases, the number of children who've been taken and put into horrific conditions, used for adrenochrome. I don't like to discuss it, but I think it's a fact, and it will be coming out here soon. And when it does, many people who are asleep now will suddenly have to wake up in a hurry. It'll be a little bit like the Germans after World War II in Nazi Germany, where they were forced, for example, outside Dachau to walk through the concentration camp and see what Adolf Hitler did to these poor people, Jews and other people, political prisoners in these camps. It'll be the same thing now, where they said household names will no longer be held in any esteem at all when people want to find out the truth. But it's coming, and I know it is. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But it's going to be very different world next year. Many of the negatives will be gone. The vibrations of the planet, Joe, are actually rising really rapidly.
Well, I had a great experience. This is how my guides roll. A couple of days ago, I said, could I have a message for the collective? And so I was given a name during the night, and it was Tim Fathom. And I'm like, this is how my angels work. They send me on like this cryptic clue type scenario. So I go into Google and type in Tim Fathom, and up comes this musician. And he just does mixes, right? And so I started listening to the first one that came up. I said, okay, well, I love music, and I've just done a podcast on how important music is, because that's how the angels drop in information if we hear a song or something. So I've just done that. So I said, okay, you know, I know that, so I'm going to listen to this song. And it was really just a mixed bar, just a couple of words in this whole thing. And the words were, once you are gone, the darkness will be no more. And I thought, out of all this music, you know, that's all, that was the only lyric in the whole mix that he had. And I thought that was a profound message for the collective. Once you are gone, the darkness will be no more. And I sort of feel that's what, once we move into that 5D consciousness, we won't have that darkness anymore.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a beautiful message for the collective.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been working on my third book now called Inspirations for a New Earth. And one of the channeled messages I've been getting is that the terminology we use today for things like power, for example, power hungry, or lots of different terminologies, actually has a negative connotation. They won't be used in the future. So the guys have been teaching me how to talk that. I've been working with a friend of mine named Jill Tower, a wonderful psychic out of Montana, but the book work is going very well. We should be done in 3 weeks, easy.
Yeah, look, I mean, language is hugely important. And this is interesting because this comes back, as you know, Ted, you know, I'm on a farm with a team of horses. And
pardon me, Joe, but where specifically are you located? Are you in North Korea now, or whereabouts are you?
I'm on the moon. I knew that. I'm broadcasting from inside the moon right now.
What's the coffee like?
Hang on a minute. I'll just whip back down to Earth to answer this question. I'm actually in the Yarra Valley.
Where's that at for somebody from North America who doesn't know where Yarra Valley is?
Yeah, okay. So I'm just about an hour and 20 minutes northeast out of Melbourne. It's the equivalent of basically San Francisco has the Napa Valley,
right,
and Melbourne has the Yarra Valley. And we have sister city relationship with the Napa Valley. We've worked quite closely with the Napa Valley in sharing ideas and stuff like that.
So. Okay. Well, I don't want any wine right now. I'm on air. It's not the time to have any drinks.
It's a bit early for me, Ted. You know, I have to share with your viewers, this is how also my guides roll, that you said that it was going to be 8 a.m. my time, and you told me to double check. But I was so busy yesterday, like got your message late. And, so this morning I just get this big alarm clock in my head at 5:30, not a real alarm clock, and in my head alarm clock to, like, get up. And I looked at the clock and thought, oh, I bet you Ted gave me the wrong times. And I looked it up, and it's actually, I should have been on, I thought I was coming on at 8 a.m. and it's actually, I had to be here on at 6 a.m. So my guides were just wonderful in making sure I didn't miss this show. So
I'll blame Google, because they told me the wrong time.
Oh, that's terrible, right? So,
yeah, probably. So that's
it doesn't matter, because in the world that we work in, we're always going to be okay, because I was woken up by a completely different alarm clock this morning. And so I'm here. That's wonderful.
Good. Hey, I want people to tell you about your two things, how you started on your spiritual journey, and also about your radio program, because I wanted to post that too. But I, you know, how to listen, because you do great work, and I want people to listen to you too. So
yeah, well, thanks, Ted. Look, I mean, I guess for me, I started having out of body experiences very young, as a child. Mm-hmm. I would have premonitions of world events. I would see these spirits in my room. I was always telling my parents there are people in the house, and, you know, and they'd search the house down, and that was, only I could see them. As a late teenager, you know, I would ask my friends, can they see this other person that's around? And they'd be like, are you crazy? I'm like, okay, no, I'm the only one that can see this other person. So I sort of had a lot of lost souls that were coming to me throughout my teenage years and 20s, and I was working probably as a light worker, helping a lot of those souls to they were sort of trapped, and so I was helping them sort of move on to the next level. And when I was in my early 20s, I went through the alien abduction program. And so I was egg harvested, and I did have greys and other beings, but I have found out since that my hybrid children are mostly part Liren, and I've been aboard ships meeting those children. I have a very close relationship with one of my children, Sophia. And we spoke about this on my other show, and you got a message that at some point we would be reunited, probably in 2025. I was told that we would be as well. It's a kooky world, you know, and you know, it's not something that you can talk to about a lot of, you know. My daughter made a funny suggestion to me. I've only really just told her recently, and she's 27. So she said, "Are you inviting Sophia to Christmas?" You know, to Christmas dinner. And I said, "Oh, well, you know," I said, "well, not in this dimension. You know, we'll visit in some other dimension." She goes, "Oh, Mom, I don't know. I don't understand all of this stuff, you know." And I said, "That's okay. At some point, it will drop in." But she's very psychic, my daughter, very psychic. But she's not on board with the ET stuff yet. But for me, that's been a lifetime. If I go back, I had in my 30s, this is the thing with the ET program or the secret space program. You get your memory blocked with a lot of your experiences, and then they just start coming back. And it's a bit like you might hear music or smell something and you remember something from your childhood. Like, this is just normal people, right? Well, it's the same for people that have been in the program. All of a sudden, it's like something stimulates you and you have a complete memory of these whole sort of galactic experiences. Some I remember absolutely without have, you know, I've always remembered, but other things just seem to drop in randomly. So I did have all the memories come back of being aboard the ship as a child with my grandfather learning the Liren language. So I've dropped down a lot of light language. So I speak light language and I draw light language as well. There's so many experiences that I've had. Recently, I went into the Akashic Records and was given this beautiful crystal in the Akashic Records. I've got a copy that I just drew. It's a very unusual crystal. It was like a crystalline crystal made of like crystalline quartz. And when I went into the Akashic Records, they gave that to me. And I really want to have that made up. So beautiful. That was about the size of it. And they said I can use that as a healing crystal from that dimension in this dimension. So that was really quite powerful and really beautiful.
That's great. That's great. How do listeners listen to your radio show, Joe? Is there a website they can go to?
My YouTube channel is The Awakening 1111. And you can find me there. I have a couple of different playlists. I've got the Revolution series and quite a number of other series that I do. I'm doing a series with a wonderful man and lady that work with a lot of Aboriginal knowledge. Clint has been given around 60,000 years of Aboriginal. He's initiated in Aboriginal law. And I tell you, the stuff that our Aboriginal or First Australian people have, the knowledge, the wisdom, you know, is incredible. Yeah, like they can actually disappear in front of you at the very highest levels. They have this incredible ability and they hold the creationist stories for Earth. And this is why they were attacked so badly. And currently, you know, where we have these terrible things going on in Australia where they're still trying to take down some of the last remaining sacred sites. So this is really, really a big issue. And I just interviewed a guy the other day who also has done a huge amount of research into Australia's Stonehenge. And basically this Stonehenge was the very original Stonehenge from around the world. And all Stonehenges from around the world were based off this one. So very interesting that because the everything's pointing back to our Australian Aboriginals being the first race and the creationist race. And that all links back to the seven sisters, the Pleiadian sisters. One of the amazing things that's going on here in Australia at the moment is that the Aboriginal elders have been in ceremony for 9 years,
Have been waiting.
preparing. They've been
Have
in
been waiting.
ceremony for 9 years,
Wow.
preparing Uluru for the 21/12, 21st of the 12th, which is the solstice, summer solstice here, winter solstice in
Oh, okay.
Northern.
That's just in a couple of weeks now.
Yeah, so this is huge, and a lot of my podcasts have been around that because I've been guided by my angels and my galactic friends that this is a really important date for Earth. So the Aboriginals have actually even asked for help from people all around the world. So if people can find out, so at 9:02 p.m. Northern Territory time, Australia, if you can work out what that is. We all need to be meditating and praying towards Uluru because they actually believe that there's a big Palladian ship underneath Uluru and they're wanting as
There
much
is.
light and love to help activate that on the 21st of the 12th. Now, you don't get often, the Australian Aboriginals keep their stuff to themselves because they've been so persecuted and subjugated.
We need we don't follow Google on your time thing because they're off by 2 hours today, so they're liable to tell you a time that's way off. So I don't know how to check it. Maybe I can call you up in the middle of the night and say, is it the right time yet? I could do
Yeah,
that.
well, it's what time is it there, Ted, right now?
In this dimension,
Yeah.
it is 11. In this dimension, it's 11:38 a.m. Pacific time.
And it's 6:38 a.m. Melbourne time, but Northern Territory will be a little bit behind us again. So it's probably around 5:30 a.m. I'm actually doing ceremony here on my property, and have a group of people coming. But 21/12 is a really big date, as most people would know watching your show for the solstice. But nine years is a long time for our elders to be in ceremony preparing for this event. They know that this is a huge event for the planet, and there's going to be some pretty major shifts going on. So if everyone could send their love and light, that would be really, really beautiful.
Okay, I'll remember that and ask everyone, of course, to do it on those days. I'm not sure whether I'm broadcasting on that day. Let me look.
Well, that will be the 20th in your time. So this is Friday, so it'll be Thursday.
Right. Well, December 21st is actually Monday here. 20th is Sunday. We can get it close on the 19th. You know, that's a
Yeah, I'm
Saturday.
just have a look. So the 21st, oh yes, Monday, sorry. Monday. So then it'll be on the 20th at your on your time. Yeah.
Right. That'll work okay. We'll work it in. I know that people
Yeah.
will be
So
there. So.
we've been so I've been doing a lot of podcasts around this date and from an ancient point of view, from a galactic point of view. In Australia, the Aboriginals are referring to this. If people want to look it up, it's the Uluru magic box. That's what they call it. They believe there's this big magic box under Uluru. And basically they're doing ceremony. There's female ceremonies and male ceremonies to work to activate this big crystal light Pleiadian ship that exists under Uluru. So they believe that obviously tens and tens of thousands of years ago, the Pleiadian ship crashed and the Uluru rock was put over the top of that.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's really quite interesting. The
There,
other
there's a
thing that.
book. I just want to tell you quick. There's a book written by Dolores Cannon some years ago named Star
Yes.
Crash. And I don't know if you've read it, but it talks about a Pleiadian
Yes.
craft. This one crashed not in Australia, but in North America. And it talked about how the inhabitants, they were escaping. Oh, let me see. They were escaping a civil war in the Pleiades. and they were looking for a planet to populate, and they had problems with their craft. They made it to Earth, they crash landed. They tried to have children, but what happened is that the kids were deformed because of the radiation from our sun was very different from the Pleiadian sun. And so they started interbreeding, having liaisons with the local natives, Native Americans there. And now Pleiadian blood is throughout Native American people in North America and in South America. And it's one of the reasons why Native Americans back home here in the States, in Canada, they have a hard time with alcohol because that's in the Pleiadian blood, they don't drink alcohol. So it's interesting. I wanted to share
It's
that.
exactly the same here.
Really?
It
Okay.
it's exactly the same here, and the same story here as well. So, or a similar story, but basically we have a huge issue with alcohol because they have no genetic code or memory for alcohol in their DNA, and also sugar. So they have a lot of diabetes issues as well.
Interesting.
We decimated their culture. We stole their language. We stole their children. The ever it was it's genocide what happened to
That's too bad.
absolute genocide what happened to our beautiful Aboriginal race here in Australia. They're still obviously very, very sensitive and still coming out of that huge trauma. And that takes a long time because of what was done,
It
and they're
happened
still
in Canada
healing.
too.
Yeah.
In the States, same thing. Yeah, same thing, same pattern, cultural genocide.
Yeah, cultural genocide, because they knew, even like they just knew the cabal has been around a long time. And this idea, like really the maybe like the American Indigenous culture, the Australian Indigenous culture, they held the creationist stories. They held the ability to make contact with the star beings, and they had the sacred sites, and they had the stone henges, and they had the ability to work with spirit and plant medicine and speak to the plants and the rocks. And they understood things at a level that most people on this earth have no idea. And so this is why they were shut down, because the cabal, even back then, they knew, and they didn't want us to be able to understand how truly powerful we all really are. And these races hold that knowledge, and we've had that stripped away from us. And that's why, Ted, for me, being a white Australian woman in having a career and supporting a family, I haven't been able to come out, and speak really my truth about a lot of stuff, because I wouldn't have survived. Especially living in a regional area. I don't know what regional areas are like over there, but they tend to be a lot less tolerant. I remember being in, I lived in a country town. We had our local pub, and I was down there one Friday night. Just catch up with the locals. I'm not much of a drinker at all, but they were all talking about having a wombat problem. I don't know if anyone knows where wombat is, but it's this.
What's a wombat? That sounds great.
It's a beautiful critter, and I'll call one up. They're these beautiful marsupials, and they dig holes a lot in areas. So I'll just show it. If you can see, that's sort of what a wombat looks like. They're these beautiful little
Interesting. Like
critters.
a large gopher in a way.
Yeah, and so they were all complaining, these men, that they have this wombat problem, but we shared the same creek. The creek that ran through their property ran through mine, and I had no wombat problems. So either side of my property, they've got all these wombat problems. So I said, but the difference is that I said, well, I actually invite the wombats in, and I give them designated areas on my property to bury there and to dig. So, and I've told them they're not allowed to dig in the creek. This is through meditation. I'll tap into what I call it, tapping the field, Ted. So I tap in and communicate with trees and plants and animals and communicate with them. And so I had communicated with the wombats, as I had with the kangaroos, that they could actually use parts of my property, but we all had to exist together. So not to make a mess, not to cause damage. And when I tried to have this conversation, of course, we, male farmers in Australia, they're like, are you mad? And I'm like, well, who's got the problem here? You're all complaining that you've got an infestation of these wombats either side of my property in the creek, but I don't. So what's the only thing that's different is the way I approach it and the way that I communicate, right? So,
Right.
but I would just have I would just throw that out there anyway. I knew it was challenging information. I knew they were never going to believe me, but I thought, well, at some point you've got to start sowing some seeds, to help people shift. And we do have that connection. I had I was running a clinic here. I have often international guests come to my property, and we have a lot of fruit farms around. And I don't know what happens over there, but we have our fruit farmers sometimes here. They have these big loud guns to scare the birds away from the fruit. And I thought, I so do not want that going off in this workshop, because like a mindfulness workshop. So we didn't want these big guns. So for a week, I just tapped into the birds, and I said, okay, I just need you to not come around so that we don't have the guns going off, right? So it was really interesting, because the guns had been going off. The very next morning, the guns stopped, and they stopped for about 2 weeks.
Oh,
So,
wonderful. Oh, my
which was
gosh.
amazing, right?
Wow.
So like we can, this is the power that we actually have to communicate in and tap the field with animals and plants
Sure.
and even and people, of course.
That's fantastic. Sebastian, bring one of your shoes. I was going to say, the Fukushima's facing a tremendous cleanup task now because they've got over 1 million tons of radioactive water.
Yeah, I've seen what's happening with that.
And TEPCO, Tokyo Electric Power Company, wants to dump all of that radioactive water, guess where, in the Pacific. So we'll all drink it. We'll eat it in the fish. We'll blow it in the winds. People will get cancer across the Pacific and much of the world. Anyway, I'm starting a spiritual campaign in about 2 weeks to clean up Fukushima. I know we can do it because of the because of the power of thought, and Dr. Moto has showed that we can do that without much trouble. Just to
Well, I think
really.
that's a really amazing project, Ted, and I think you're right. We can through thought. I've read a lot of Dr. Emoto's books and work, and I absolutely understand. That was a breakthrough for me, because I understood how spirit worked before Dr. Emoto's work, and his work really just it sort of validated what I knew.
Sure.
It was as amazing validation tool for what I already knew, and I was like, wow, I wanted to show the world. See.
This beautiful little children's book. But I'd love to have you join us in a couple of weeks. I'm going to make it worldwide, and I know we can clean up the radiation.
Yeah, well, I'd love to do that and put it out to us, to the Australian community, to do
Okay.
that. Because, Ted, I had premonitions about Fukushima for about a month before it happened. It was just
Really?
bang over and over and over again. And I know when I have that kind of intense type of warning, we know that Fukushima was not an accident. We
Yeah,
know that.
it was another setup. Here we go
Yeah.
again.
Yeah.
Another setup. There
Yeah.
was a company. I'm told that there was a cabal-controlled submarine, Israeli submarine, that detonated a nuclear device in the Sea of Japan to create this effect of looking like a tsunami, with looking like an earthquake, which it wasn't. And then when resulting tsunami hit the four reactors at Fukushima, there was conveniently another Israeli company. I'm not blaming the state of Israel. I want to make this clear, but it was controlled by the cabal, and they conveniently shut off the safety systems 1 hour before the tidal waves hit, so that when the tidal wave hit the reactors, all this radiation went everywhere, and it was all designed
Yeah.
to cause maximum damage, to kill us off. But fortunately, we've had galactic help, and one of the things that Dr. Moto's life work was to show that we are powerful spiritual beings. We can clean it up. He came to me the other day and he said, "Ted, It's going to be 10 years in about 3 or 4 months now for the anniversary of Fukushima. And we've got to clean it up. And if you don't, TEPCO is going to kill us. They're going to release that water in the Pacific, and it's going to be a real mess. And it's like, it's just totally insanity. And it affects more than just Japan. It's the whole world. So that's the kind of effort that I want to be done. And one of the people who I really like talking about this is my friend Sebastian, who has, you met him before.
I know, and I want to have Sebastian on my show.
yeah. Well, great. Well, he just happens to be here. I was going to have him at the beginning of the hour, but we ran
a little late. Hi, Sebastian.
Sebastian, why don't you go ahead and hold up your shoe that you got? These are earthing shoes. They've got earthing at the bottom. And they're cool shoes. They're made completely organic materials. And then you've got something else here too.
It's another shoe made of recycled EVA.
Oh, really? Recycled PVA?
Yeah, it's like you're taking the recycled materials from plastics.
Okay, great.
Wow, I want to buy both pairs. I want to get 2 pairs of those.
I'll
have to send you my size and convert it to the US size because it's a different shoe size system here.
Yeah. Don't trust Google. We won't use Google to figure out.
Oh, don't trust Google.
They're wrong in the time. They're probably wrong in everything else too.
We'll hook up very soon, Sebastian. We'll talk about earthing because I've been totally into earthing, and I have earthing sheets, and I have earthing pad on my desk. And
do you feel the difference on the sheets?
Sorry?
Do you feel the difference with the earthing sheets?
I don't have the shoes. I've just got the sheets and the mats, but I've been looking for shoes, and now I've found you. I can buy them. So it's so important for us to be earthing because of the – as you would know, the beneficial health effects of our circulation and keeping us alkaline and keeping us connected. And part of wearing shoes is breaking the connection between us and the earth, which means that we're always cycling around within ourselves, which creates acidity and, health issues. Whereas when you ground, that's the thing is and most people walking around on cement and on all sorts of synthetic floors, and we're not actually on the earth and the grass and connected to the trees. And this is why nature's so healing, you know, just take your shoes off and put your feet on the grass. But I'm on a farm working with horses, so it's not really practical for me to be wearing bare feet. So it would be nice to have some nice good boots to wear while I'm working around my animals.
Yeah.
And to keep me earthed at the same time.
I'm seeing a lot of the majority of the emotional and even physical diseases are coming from our lack of connection.
That's true.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. And you do some 5G anti-EMF.
I'm wearing the beanie right now, actually.
Yeah.
See, I can't read my mind with it on.
Yeah. It's actually got silver worn into it, so it protects you against 5G. You know,
yeah.
We'll send you a whole package, a whole 5G package.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. I've been looking into that.
Yeah, he has a special one he just designed for wombats. So you can put them in the wombats. If you can grab them and just put it over it, they'll love you for it.
I don't think the wombats are the problem. I think it's the people. We might have to design something to upgrade people's brains.
Okay. Yeah, we'll work on it for next year.
We'll work on it for next year. Yeah, this is the collaboration. Yeah, the special wombat.
I like it.
That's very important. Yeah.
Thanks, Sebastian. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, thank you.
Could you give your website out? People could get a hold of you, Sebastian.
Yeah, what's your website?
Escape, www.esq4pe.com.
ESQ4PE. All right. I'm going to go there. Is that the best way I should order from you as well?
Well, if you'd like to, but I mean, you can also just send me your address.
Okay.
Yeah, just send it to me and I'll forward it on.
And I'll take care of you.
Do you take credit card or PayPal, or how do we buy off the site?
Usually just real estate titles.
What about a couple of free tickets to Jupiter? Would that work?
I'll give my friend a call, Plutian Commander Halosaurus, and I'll see what I can arrange.
Okay.
No problem.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll message you for your address, and then I'll send over a package.
All right, that would be wonderful. Yeah, we'll catch up.
If you like, let me know. But if not, we'll just gift you whatever.
Yeah, I'll get on the show. I'll get on your website and have a good look. And of course, I really want to promote that on my site, because this is actually quite something that Australians know quite a bit about, is earthing.
Okay.
You know, whenever we have our, we have like well, before COVID, we had these big events, and where all natural healers and products would come out and display all of their stuff in Melbourne, and there was always the earthing stand
You'll have a mixed year. Believe me, things will start to get back to normal in January. There'll be a celebration.
That's great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sebastian.
Okay. All right, my friend.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I have time traveled, and I've gone into March. With a friend in Australia, it was about a month ago. And we first went to March, and I asked her to open her computer. She lives in Queensland. She's in Australia. And we both looked at the screen, and many of the political leaders in Australia had been arrested, put in jail. The parliament was meeting in Canberra, electing a new prime minister for the whole country. This person's going to be honest. And I think it's going to be a woman. Let me check. Hold on. Yeah, it's going to be a woman who's very spiritual. So it's going to be a dramatic change for the whole country.
Yeah.
And you'll become head of the Ministry for Wombat Affairs, where you live. And you'll be tasked with talking to farmers and talking to the wombats. So it'll be a big job.
I think that's a stellar career, right? I'll be looking forward to that.
So anyway, did you know in Iceland, they actually have a government minister who talks to the fairies there, because in Iceland, it's a little known fact. I'm not making this joke.
No, I know it. I've seen stuff about this culture.
Outside Reykjavik, on the capital, when they put in new roads out in the countryside outside Reykjavik in Iceland, they've had so many problems. If they just have a bulldozer goes in and starts destroying rocks and stuff, well, suddenly all the machinery will stop. And all the workmen would get sick. And finally, a psychic came in and said, "Can I help you?" And they said, "Well, we don't know what's going on." And this lady said, "Well, I know what's going on. You're destroying their homes, and they're going to stop you. So you have to negotiate with them." So the government of Iceland actually has a minister of fairy affairs.
I love that.
And that person goes with psychics, and they talk to the fairies, and they negotiate a route for a road.
I really believe that all of those realms, well, not just believe, I've experienced them. On my last farm, I had a very beautiful section of my farm, where I said the wombats were free to roam. It was a beautiful big gully that came down off our ranges, and it was full of fairies. It was beautiful, you know, and you could feel
nice.
Them.
How nice.
Yeah, it was a really beautiful
section. Can I give you a message from, can I give you a message from the other side? They're saying that wombats in the animal kingdom actually have a lot of wisdom to share. And so you could channel that, actually, you know, because the wombats and all the animals and the plants, and this goes into Aboriginal thinking too, that you could easily do a book on that. Of important knowledge for humanity to get that connection with Earth and the other plant and animal kingdoms and the Aboriginal kingdom too. But that would be really good for you to do. You have the capability.
I totally would love to do something like that. And I was a wildlife carer, so I've raised little baby kangaroos and wombats, and you know, they're such incredibly intelligent. But spiritually knowledgeable beings, and they share so much wisdom with you. So I have to agree totally there, and maybe that's something I can do. you know, I've got a lot of ideas for books, and I've written a lot of stuff already about these things. So, that would be exciting to bring that knowledge in. So thank you for sharing that with me, Ted.
In my own studies, I know that Native Americans here talk about spirits in the wind. They talk about cloud people, spirits in the clouds. They talk about spirits in the rocks. Yeah. I know up at Mount Shasta in Northern California, it's a beautiful place. I've actually seen lots of faces in the rocks. And that's Lemurian energy coming through where the spirits are actually in the rocks. They're in another higher dimension, but you look at it and you can actually see a face. They also go into trees as well and all kinds of different places. But again, in the higher dimensions that you don't normally see. So,
well, I have a lot of experiences with the Lemurians. They come through as these beautiful crystal crowned beings and share mm-hmm. so many insights with me. The Lemurians are amazing. So the Lemurians visit me, the Lyrans. I've had benevolent reptilians. When I've been aboard the ships, I've met up with the mantids. The mantids are the master geneticists of the universe. They hold all DNA and all blueprints, and they go throughout different galaxies, seeding planets. They're amazing. They're a weird race compared to us, but highly intellectual. But one of the things that I've had happen here is I've got this beautiful, big gum tree beside my house. And one night I found myself out of body with the spirit. Her name was Agnes.
Can you hear me, Joe?
Yep.
Joe, could you please repeat? We lost you there for about 1 minute.
Oh, yes. I was saying that I had an out-of-body experience with my big gum tree, who I call Agnes. And mm-hmm. I found myself speaking with her out of body next to the side of the house. And she said this to me. She said, "You humans, you are so, so unaware of what goes on. We tree spirits, we plant spirits, mm-hmm. we are here always. And you," and she said, "you think that we are stationary and we're stuck in our trees and our plants, but we come out and we dance and we sing and we play. And you're completely unaware of the level of intelligence and insight that we have." And I was blown away. And I have to say, she didn't say this in words. She said it in a frequency. So it was like, and she was speaking to me in frequency, but I understood it mental in this realm. I understood what she was saying, even though the sound was in a frequency. And she was an incredible, wise spirit that's living in this tree right next to my house. So I just feel so cared for and so watched over with knowing that these spirits are there always, and they're connected to us, and they're our family. And she said to me, "All the trees are family."
Right. Wow. That's a beautiful, beautiful talk. You know, I love to hug a big tree. Trees in general, but especially a big tree, because it has so much wisdom. And what happens is that when I do put my arms around it, incredible knowledge and wisdom, and I feel a tremendous amount of grounding when I do that. I feel calm and peaceful. So it's it's a beautiful experience, and I've done that before. And also too, you can do the same with wind. You communicate with clouds, they do respond.
You know what? I have to share with you what I've been experimenting with the clouds. I've had this incredible urge to sun gaze over the last month. Like I've always been a sun gazer, but even as a child, I would ask for messages in the clouds. So I used to spend my life looking up at the clouds, and I still do. But if I can find the pictures quickly on my phone, I said to Spirit, "I really want to see a really spectacular show of, I want to see a beautiful show." So what happened, Ted? I'll just show you how the sky started, which was just like this. This is how the sky started when I went out and started communicating. That's the photo of the sky. And so I sat there on my, I communicated, and I said, "Please give me a beautiful message and show me how spectacular you can be." And then look what they give me, this beautiful crystalline rainbow dragon in the sky within just a few minutes.
Oh, that's gorgeous. That is so pretty. Wow. Amazing. You
know, so, I mean, this is a sort of, I mean, it was a, it, that wasn't in the sky when I went out there, but I sat there and I said, please acknowledge that we are connected. Please acknowledge that we have the power to communicate with each other. And please show me a spectacular scene in the sky to acknowledge that we've made that connection. And when you do that, guess what? this beautiful crystalline, gorgeous rainbow light in a dragon just appears above me. I mean, that's not coincidence, Ted. That's me having connection with the divine. That's me totally and fully embraced in consciousness and fully understanding that the clouds and me are one. And and that's how I roll, you know, in that space.
Well, that's wonderful. What a great example. There's just a lot more going on that meets the eye, because we're shifting now from the third to fourth to fifth dimension.
Yeah.
Normally, I've been told it takes several hundred thousand years to move from the third to the fourth, and then fourth to the fifth dimensions.
Yeah.
But we're going to be moving into the fourth, stopping briefly there for a matter of months, and then going right into the fifth dimension. And I think one of the reasons is because our evolution has been held back. We were supposed to ascend into the fifth dimension with the help of President Kennedy back in the early 60s. But he was assassinated, unfortunately. And we've had this detour in human history for the past, 60 odd years or so. But the ascension of the planet and the ascension of humanity is inevitable. And as Data has said on Star Trek, resistance is futile. We are shifting now into the fifth dimension. Oh, sure, the negatives can do what they want, and they can try to interrupt it and put these silly mask requirements and silly social distancing things and silly vaccination requirements and lock us down for as long as possible in a fake police state thing. But it's not going to work. None of it's going to work, because that's not our destiny. They've had their chance to mess up this planet. Yeah. And they've given them their chance and they blew it, and there's nothing they can do about it. So, you know, they can try, but it's not going to work. So
I've been told that, Ted, that we don't have to worry about vaccines. We don't have to worry about 5G. The light has won, you know, and I was told Trump wins, you know, and I know Trump won.
Inaugurated this month.
Sorry, what was that?
Yeah. I did see that happening. Yeah, I did see that happening. So
So, you know, it's interesting.
It's going to be a glorious
year. Yeah, it's going to be great. Well, it already is great. That's the thing, is we've really got to understand that we have to right now be here in our bodies, and to be embracing that light right here, right now, and know with all our heart that the light has won. We have to hold that. It's so important that we do that, you know, because we are always creating, you know, and we do want to create this beautiful future.
Right. And it's coming for our children and our children's children.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So that's what they want us to do. Actually, the period from 2015 to 2030 is the most tumultuous and stressful years in humanity's period for several thousand years, tens of thousands of years. Mm-hmm. And of that, for as much as, you know, he said that we can see on as long as you need, up to 2 hours. So I don't know about 2 hours, but I know you're probably sleepy, but
I'm right awake now. I've had my strong cup of tea.
I might get it. I might get a cup of coffee here, but in this period from 2015 to 2030, this year is the most stressful one. And of that time period, July through the end of December are the most stressful months. And of that time, November and December, this month, are the worst ones.
Yeah, you said that. I've been talking to my friends about that. You know, I felt we were talking. I've got a lot of beautiful psychic friends out there, and they're the star seed light workers. And we were talking about how September was like probably the hardest month for us. There was a lot of energy that came in September, but the last week, Ted, it's really interesting how many people have had amnesia, and there's been these big sort of detonations going up around the sun. There's a lot of people have had like an amnesia and falling back into old shadow type behaviors in the last week. And
What did you say? I just forgot what you said.
I can't remember what I said. got amnesia.
What did you say? You said people had amnesia? I'm sorry. I'm being silly. Go ahead.
Yeah, I love humor. I actually love humor. It's interesting what? How many people have been...
I forgot what you said. What?
I can't remember either. I just think this week has been particularly difficult for a lot of people around the planet energetically. You know, it's just been a challenging week. A lot of anxiety, a lot of memory issues, and a lot of dark shadows coming out. And again, that's just purging with the new light and the new frequencies coming in. And of course, we've always got the cabal that are setting all sorts of weird frequencies off, trying to lower us as well. So, you know, we just need to remember stay in the light. So,
That's true. And remember too that a lot of times people who haven't dealt with like childhood issues or negative things in their past, those things are surfacing now and they're going to be forced to deal with them now only because they have to deal with it before they can move on to the higher dimensions.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what I know, you know, because I've had people I've known maybe for years who they're suddenly acting very negative and being really out of character. But then I'm told that they're acting that way because they have things that they haven't worked out in their own personalities yet. And this is helping them to work it out. So
I totally agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, we could sit here and talk all day. There's so many things that I've experienced. You know, I don't know where you want to go next, but like if you've got questions for me, fire away.
Okay, well, let me look here. Anybody have questions for Joe? You can email them to me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I never know what comes in. Sometimes I get so wrapped up in an interview. The messages I've gotten from the spirits on the other side all say that next year will become like a normal year, except there won't be the negativity that we've had in the past.
Yeah.
And it'll be a watershed year in terms of what's happening. So that's good. You know, I'm for one really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, all of us here chose to be here at this time. You know, I mean, you know, I've been here 52,000 years. You've been here a long time too, tens of thousands of years.
Yeah, we just said we were
most of the souls I remember were about the same time, 52,000 years. Yeah. Yes, that's right. Yeah. So, you know, many light workers have been here a long time. Some have been here. The way they measure it is through what's called the Mayan Ketun cycle, where it's the amount of time it takes for this solar system to go around the central sun of this galaxy. And one Mayan Ketun cycle is 26,000 years, or to be precise, 25,800 Earth years. And both you and I have been here for two Mayan Ketun cycles, which is approximately 52,000 years, or to be more precise, 51,600 years, which is a long time. For you, you've been here 600 years, 6 months, 4 days, 5 hours, 32 minutes and 4 seconds.
Well, I think I'm looking forward to my leaving of the planet and going aboard the ships and heading off to Jupiter. So I might go and live there for a while.
I would recommend Saturn. It's got places of Saturn's got better real estate values. It's wide open. Nobody's there. You know, fishing's good. Views are tremendous, I've been told. So, you know.
I could stop there on the way. I did interview Robert Potter and Raymond Keller last week, and they suggest that Venus is pretty good too. So, and the Venusians are very friendly and, you know, they're very much like us. So I might feel more at home in Venus.
Robert Potter is a friend of mine and he's been friends with Oleg Umnuk for many years. And she's actually from Venus, but in the fifth dimension. The planet ascended many years ago. there is a part of Venus that's still in the third dimension. And there is some life there as well, but it's not, it's a little different. That's all I know about it. So,
yeah. That was an interesting show. People want to watch that show. And one of the other podcasts I did recently was talking about the opening of the portals that I do. So I get guided by the Galactics to open these light portals to allow them to come through to assist humanity. And when we do that, we do make contact with these light beings, and they appear in the sky, and you know, they communicate with us through light. So yeah, that's one of my podcasts too. So that's very exciting work that I do, is opening up these beautiful light portals. So yeah, doing all this wonderful work to bring the light through. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, the message I got for you from my Pleiadian friends is that you're there to hold the light where you are. And I know that Victoria is some of the darkest places on the planet right now with the extreme oppression. Fortunately, yeah. You're not in the city, but you are close to it. So, and this is going to end soon. If you study history, none of the negative civilizations on this planet last for a long time.
Never.
You know, they never last for a long time.
It always gets exposed. Always.
The truth always
prevails. The truth and the light always prevails, because it's so much stronger. And as we know, as we're going through these Kali Yuga cycles and we're going into the age of Aquarius, we're having this increase in vibration on the planet. And that vibration just can't support this negative energy. It's just going to wipe it out. So that's why we know the light's won. You know, the planet and the frequencies is just going to be too high. So we just really have to stay faithful, even as dark as it seems to be sometimes. We just need to know that it's all just the bad energy wisping off the planet and playing out. You know, it has to sort of come up and show its ugly head and do its last hurrah. And but I do believe very, very strongly through what I've been shown, and I time travel too, Ted, that you know, it is going to be a much better world. So but I agree with you that there's probably more challenges to come for humanity before it does get better.
Well, I want everyone out there facing a difficult time right now, that this is the darkest hour just before dawn.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is hang on literally a matter of weeks. And for a lot of young people, I know it's been tough. The suicide rates, for example, in many states, in Washington state where I'm from, has skyrocketed. Our governor out here, Democratic governor, just doesn't care. But but try to remember that things will get better. And many of these political leaders we have now instituting these draconian police state type controls will be in jail within a matter of months.
Yeah.
Very, very soon. Their power is very short-lived. And many of them were reelected or elected with fraudulent votes, and that will come to show.
Yeah.
And so I've seen the future. I know what it's going to be. And I'm not worried. It doesn't mean we don't have to work for it. But, you know, you've got an angel around your neck.
Oh, yeah. It's a crystal. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Quartz crystal. Yeah. Very nice one, one. I like that one. I love jewelry. I didn't design this, but some of the jewelry I have, I design and make. But, yeah, I'm obsessed with crystals. Mm-hmm. Some of the messages that I've been given recently for people who are wanting to move, you know, wanting to access the fifth dimension more, is crystals play a really big part in that. So if you, especially quartz crystal. So, and so I was told to tell all my viewers on my show to just, you know, get yourself a little bit more crystal, or if you haven't got them, get some quartz crystal. They are like transducers that hold and store and send and receive messages for us into the other dimensions. So I'm a little bit more eccentric than most. I have a huge collection of crystals, but that's been since I was a kid. My dad introduced me to to rocks and crystals and jewelry making and stuff. So I'm very fortunate, but my whole farm is surrounded with crystals and my whole house is filled with crystals. And so it's really, and I think that really helps in why I have so much activity as well, with the galactics and the sort of angelic realm. So I would suggest that if you want to increase your psychic abilities and make contact with these beings, buy some quartz crystal or get a hold of some quartz crystal and surround yourself with that. It's a beautiful energy.
There's a friend of mine, Diane Robbins at Mount Shasta in Northern California, and she's written a book about talking to crystals.
Yes.
So the Crystal Kingdom. So she's an amazing lady. You should get in touch with her. Oh, by the way, I know a couple of days ago I brought you up on the Pleiadian ship for a healing.
Yes.
Are you ready to come out? All right. Do you want to bring your soul back?
I can come out now.
All right. Okay. All right. I brought Joe aboard the Pleiadian with the permission of Adam Pleiadian, Admiral Halosaurus, and for a healing. I'm going to bring you out now. Put your hand over your heart. Thank him for the healing and for the help. Okay, I'm going to bring you right back now. I'm integrating your soul with your physical body now from the fifth dimension into the third. Yeah, you're going to take some time off this afternoon. It's going to take a few hours to recalculate yourself. Drink plenty of water. And be kind to the wombats. just kidding. Just kind of integrate yourself for the rest of the day, okay? I didn't want to just leave you there forever.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Can I have my other part back from the Pleiadian ship?
Yeah. There's a part of you still left with them because you're from the Pleiades.
Yeah.
That's one of the lives you had. So there is a part of you there, by the way. But for purpose of this third density Earth existence, you have now brought in Rink. You've reintegrated yourself from the fifth dimension on the ship back into third now on planet Earth. So you're okay.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad I'm good. So,
You're all right. So, you're doing wonderful work there, Joe. I am so glad that you could come on my show today.
Yeah,
is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
Yeah. Oh, look, I think people can just, you know, if they're interested in the sort of podcast I'm putting out, which is around galactics, portal opening, ancient wisdom, and being in our higher self, understanding about manifestation as well. Like, that's the other thing. I know a lot about manifestation. And you know, I've actually, Ted, healed myself from very aggressive breast cancer. This type of cancer, I was speaking to someone on Friday whose their mother just died of recently. It's the triple negative breast cancer. But, you know, I went through that without having any chemo or radiation. And so I have a lot of wisdom around, you know, how to do things in a more alternative way and a more sustainable way for us as well. So, there's a lot that I discuss on my channel, which is The Awakening 1111. And my name is Jo Cheval Iskra. So if anyone wanted to look me up, it's Jo Cheval Iskra. And Iskra actually means spark in Russian. So that's I am a little bit of a spark.
Okay. Could you spell that, please, for my listeners so we have the right spelling?
So J-O is Jo because it's the female version. And Cheval is S-H-E-V-A-L. And then Iskra, I-S-K-R-A. And my Facebook page is Jojo Spark.
Okay, great. All right, great. Yeah, okay, wonderful.
Yep.
Well, we have a beautiful world ahead of us, I know. We just have just to hang in there and continue to hold the light and know that good things are coming for humanity. And all of the guides and spirits today, thank you and applaud you for your wonderful work in the Yarra Valley, but it's more than that. It's for Australia and the world too, in raising consciousness. And we all need to work together to make this world a much better and happier place.
I agree. And we're all here doing our little bit, you know. So, and thank you, Ted, for all the inspiring work that you're doing. And it's, you know, we just need more Teds in the world, I think.
And more Joes too, absolutely.
More Teds and Joes. Well, keep up shining your light over there, and I'll do mine down under. And it's been an absolute honor to be on your show, and thank you so much. I would love to have you back on my show at some point again, as well, with a bit of an update of what's going on. So, and of course, Sebastian, we'll get him on the show straight away.
Oh yeah, he's a nice fellow, a really nice fellow. I want to tell all my listeners too. That 3 p.m. Pacific today, I'll be bringing on Judy Kelly, who I consider one of America's best psychics.
Wow.
We always have a lot of fun, and she brings in all kinds of entities in, and she's very sweet and very benevolent. She's done a lot of work at Mount Shasta and worked with the masters for a long time. She's been on major television shows here in the United States, and she's quite well known, but she's good. She's got a great heart. So that'll be 3 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio 1 here out of the San Francisco Bay Area. So anyway, listen, if you're awake, it's in about 2.5 hours. We'll be going.
Oh yes, I'll be awake because it's now 7:30 Australian time in Melbourne.
I didn't wake you
I'm
up.
I'm glad so I got woken up by my guide's alarm clock. So and made it on the show. So
wonderful.
Thank you, Ed.
Wonderful.
Been wonderful
All
to
right.
be here.
Thank you, Joe. You're a great, great person, great lady, and I'm so glad you're holding the light there where you are.
I always say namaste because it's on behalf of me and my team of beautiful horses. So namaste.
Namaste. Okay, great, great, Joe. Okay, thank you so much for coming on. And I hope everyone enjoyed today's show. My website is outofthisworldradio.net, or you can also look at readings and other spiritual trips at outofthisworldreadings.com. And Joe, thank you so much again, and please keep up your good work. I'll be back on the air in about 2.5 hours with Judy Kelly, one of America's best psychics. Thanks so much, Joe. And it's going to be in both Spanish and English. It's my Spanish program. So people who speak Spanish it's all translated. So and in English too. So. Okay, thank you so much, Joe. Bye-bye, everyone. Thanks so much for listening today. Bye-bye.